1 Corinthians 3:9, for ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, hay, wood, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Heavenly Father, what profitable verses, good teaching, good Bible principles and precepts, good reminders for us. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that you'd heighten our awareness and our attention. Right now, Lord, it would be so wise for us to ask for your help, to push out the concerns of our mind, those things that may be distracting us, worrying us, concerning us. Lord, I pray that we would just ask with your Spirit's help to focus wholly on the teaching of the Bible for these next few minutes, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last time we taught on a Wednesday night, we just got to verse number 9. And we said that there are two things that the local church was compared to. God's husbandry, which if you look that up, that means a farm. So he likens the church unto a farm, and then God's building, and that's likened unto a structure. What we covered was this. Please remember that there was somebody that came before you. And I took an entire Wednesday night. Really didn't plan to spend a whole Wednesday night on that. It was very, very worthy of an entire Wednesday night. Let's remember that there's people that have come before us, and there will be people that come after us. We get an opportunity to serve our generation by the will of God. And you know what? You're not here by accident. You weren't born when you were born by accident. You weren't placed in blessed hope at this time by accident. You know, it says of Esther that she was put there for such a time as this. And so it's very, very exciting. I can't control what happened 100 years ago, and I won't have a say in what happens 50 years from now, maybe 25 years from now. But you know what? Today God's given me an opportunity. Today God's given me life, and I want to make a difference for him. And then I want to draw your attention now to the different necessary ingredients in building the local church. We begin now to get into the specifics of the building. Even though he mentions God's husbandry, the rest of the portion of Scripture focuses on the idea of viewing your local church as if it is a never-ending building project. A never-ending building project. It was exciting to start a building project way out here years ago, but it was also fun to see it end also. But when we are talking about the church, folks, it should be a never-ending building project. Now, what are the necessary ingredients in building a biblical church, a proper church? Let's start. Number one, a proper foundation. Boy, we just need to say this, amen. Blow the trumpet on this. In verse number 10, Paul says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. And then verse number 11, it tells us what foundation he laid. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And folks, if this thing is going to stay right and be right, then it had to have been built on the proper foundation. If you don't get the foundation right, you're going to have building problems. You're going to have problems throughout the history of that structure. And we remember the parable, I won't have you go back there, where Jesus talked about that there's two foundations. There were two men that built a house. Isn't that what we sing on a Sunday morning in opening assembly? And the wise man built his house upon a rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And you know that, of course, is based on the parable that Jesus spoke. And you know what? The church is going to be tried. I call it tri-directional trials, tri-directional testing. The Bible says that the rains fell. It tries the roof. The winds blew. It tries the side of the building. And the floods rose, which tries the foundation. And you know what? When the storms come, that's when we find out whether or not we've built on the proper foundation and we've used the right materials. Now, folks, we've said it around here, and I think it's been said from the beginning. You go back 46 years now, and I think if you went and just, if you could find the messages and listen to them, I know this. Dad was like Paul. He came here, and he was the one that God used to lay the foundation, but he decided from the beginning that foundation was going to be Jesus Christ. And those of you that sat under his ministry, you can hear it. If you close your eyes, you can see him pointing up to heaven. Folks, listen to me. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let's not let it become about anything else. It's all about Jesus. As long as we keep the foundation strong and right, then you know what? We won't have to worry about the building standing. So it has to have a proper foundation. Let's build everything on the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, here's another necessary ingredient to the building of a church. Verse number 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, here it is, as a wise master builder. Now, if you're going to build a building, you have to, number one, have the proper foundation. Number two, you have to have a wise master builder. Those of you that are familiar with construction, we've got a lot of men in our church that are familiar with it. One of the blessings about being raised in rural America, you go to these city churches, they hire everything out. You know why? Nobody in those churches know how to do anything. But it's one of the blessings of being in rural America is that we have men that still are involved and grew up just kind of building their own things and grew up with more of a hands-on experience in some of this. But you know what? If you're going to see a building up and it's going to be built right from beginning to end, then there ought to be somebody. We call them the general contractor. But some men God has blessed with the wisdom and knowledge to be chief or master constructors or builders. In our vernacular, as I mentioned, they'd be called a general contractor. This contractor oversees the construction, oversees all of the other contractors and skilled laborers. And of course, in this is talking about in this portion of scripture about the pastor. And God does give a pastor to a church to be that wise master builder. And I was thinking about this when we built the building over here, and I'd never been over an entire building project. I'd been worked with Dad on some building projects and all of that, but from front to start. And one of the things that I knew is this: it was going to take us about a year and a half to get it done. And during that year and a half, I couldn't stop pastoring. But also, I still needed to oversee the process. I'm just going to share it with you and remind you what we did. I broke the building project up into 10 phases. And you know what I did? I looked at each of those phases, and from the foundation, the groundwork and the preparation, to the foundation, all the way through, and I looked at the men in our church, and I said, who in our church is most skilled in that particular area? And I put them over that phase. There was a man that was over phase one. There was another man over phase two. There was another man over phase three. Sometimes I would reuse a man on phase four. But I had somebody that was expert, that was a master at that particular part. Now, what that allowed me to do then as a pastor was keep pastoring. Because when phase one was getting done, I had a man that was over that phase. But every single week, and sometimes several times a week, I met with that man. My job as overseer was to set him up for success, to put him in a position where he could succeed, to make sure that we had the money, the materials, the manpower, in order for him to be able to get that done. And it was exciting during that building project, because 10 different times we got to walk up here on a Sunday night and say, folks, phase number one is done. And then I would have that man stand up, and I'd say, I want to thank Brother So-and-so. And by the way, he's handed the baton. Phase two starts tomorrow, and Brother So-and-so, you stand up. And that way, when folks came, they knew who to go see. You know, folks, listen to me. This whole idea of, well, I don't want anybody telling me what to do, you need to get over that. You're just never going to be a part of anything that works if you can't be under people. If you've always got to be the expert, you've always got to be the boss. If it's not done my way, then I just won't show up and do it. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just wicked pride on your part, and it just about makes you useless to the cause of Christ. And so you know what? So what was I? What was my position on this? Could I say it? A wise master builder. Say, why are we talking about that? Because the church is really not that much different.
There's all kinds of ministries, about 24 different individual ministries that this church has. But guess what? I can't run every single one of them. And this whole idea of every time you show up to something, if the preacher's not there, you're mad. You need to get over that too. Okay? There's a lot of things I show up to you're not at. What if I got mad every time you didn't show up and quit coming? And, you know, you're not even using good sense after a while. Okay? Again, it's the difference. I want to help some of you. If you've never been a part of any job other than you are an entry level and you're the laborer and you've never had oversight responsibilities, then I'm going to tell you something. You probably don't have an appreciation for that position. Right. A lot of guys that are just entry level, they're laborers, they've never advanced, they've never done anything. Let me tell you what they tend to do. They tend to sit around and talk about how lazy the boss is and how he doesn't do anything. And why don't even know why they pay him, and blah, 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 blah. You know why? Because you've never overseen anything in your life. And if you have overseen something in your life, you realize that long after those guys that are griping have punched in and punched out, you're putting in extra hours before it, you're putting in extra hours after it. And guess what? If it goes wrong, guess who? Where the responsibility falls. And come on, what we've got to do is understand that God is using a building program as an example to help the church understand, okay? And somebody's got to be up here where he's watching all 24 ministries interact, properly manned, and I'm setting everybody up for success. That means I do a lot of this. I know you want me to just stand there and help you do this on your plate. You ever seen them twirl a plate where they put it on a stick? Some of you are thinking, what was he doing? A preacher just go Pentecostal? What is going on here? You ever put a plate on us? Seen them put a plate up on a stick and twirl it? And it'll set there right on the middle and twirl. And you know what? What you've got to do as a master builder is you've got 24 plates that you're responsible for. Guess what? I can't keep all of them spinning. You know, well, if you're not here, standing right here beside me, then I just won't do it. You know, you don't want a job. I don't know what you want. But I guess I'll get somebody else. But somebody's got to get an understanding of this, okay? Yeah, the preacher, whoever, I don't care who it is. If you were on the job, the general contractor wouldn't be standing right beside you every day driving nails with you. That's right. And if he did do that, he wouldn't be doing his job. Right. And there'd be a lot of things that would fall through the cracks, okay? Does that help you? I want it to help you because you need to help me, all right? I'm tired of being put on guilt trips all the time, all right? You know what? I'm doing my job. And what I need is people that are willing to dedicate themselves to some of these plates. And you know what? You're going to be in doing your plate. Guess what Brother Gordon's doing? You know what? This is your trip, buddy. I've done it a lot of times, all right? I forgot more about trips than he knows. But you know how I learned? First time I had to do it by myself. You know, we sat down before, we talked about it. I gave them a template of what we've done in the past. But you know what? You know what, folks? This is what we're doing. We're preparing the next generation to run with some of this stuff, okay? So please have an understanding of that. And be glad that God's given you a wise master builder. And let him do his job, okay? And be happy to do your job because all of it works together for good. And so you have the proper foundation, you have the wise master builder, and then you have, look in verse number 10 at the end there, at the end of that verse, but let, here it is, every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. And then in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, we need next a willing and wise workforce of builders. So there has to be the right foundation, Jesus Christ. Let's never forget that. There has to be a wise master builder. There has to be a willing and wise for a workforce of builders. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Let me say this. Every member should put his labor into the building of the local church. Every single person, according to your gifts, according to what God's given you to do, a willing heart, a servant's heart to plug in, every member ought to be part of building your local assembly. But verse 12 reminds us that every member should be careful what materials he's using as he builds. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, we'll talk about the building materials in just a minute. Number 3, every member should be careful what building, what materials he uses. Number four, every member should be careful of what sort his work is. Verse 13. Now, I want to stop here, and we'll talk about materials in a second here. But if you will, look at verse number 13. Let's read it all. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work. Here it is. Of what sort it is. Now, there's several things. Number one, there has to be a willing builder, a willing laborer. Somebody will show up and say, hey, I'll plug in. I'll do part. I'll help get this thing done. All right, I'm willing, preacher. I've got a willing heart. I've got a working heart. I mean, plug me in. Put me busy somewhere. You got to be willing. You got to show up. And then you got to be careful what materials you bring in, what materials you're using on whatever I've assigned you to be a part of. But then it talks about the quality of your work, what sort it is. The Bible says there's going to be a day where not only are you going to be tested on the materials that you use, but you're also going to be tested. It's going to be revealed of what sort your work is. Now, again, let me just kind of give a hooray this. And I feel like I'm talking to the choir. We got a Wednesday night crowd. We got a church full of servants and people that have put in a lifetime, some of you, of doing what I'm talking about. But let me say this. Let me just say this. If anybody deserves our best work, it's the Lord. If anybody deserves our best, of what sort it is. You know, if you'll go to the job and you'll give A-plus effort to earn a paycheck, but you'll come to the church and you'll give about a C-minus effort in your attempts here, then you've got things kind of upside down, switched around. I'm not saying lower what you're doing at work. I'm saying good night. It ought to be A++ here. You know, if there's an opportunity to do something for the Lord, let's do it first class. Let's do it right. Let's do it sharp. And our brother Levi, is he here tonight? He's not here tonight. He left a T-shirt laying on my desk. How many of you got your T-shirts for mowing? Now, you know what? Some of you scratch your head and think, you know, Levi's just a little weird. And I would say you're probably right. He is different. But I love Levi. I love it. I give him something like mowing, oversee the mowing ministry. Done that many years ago. And I'm telling you, every single year, you guys that are involved in it, buddy, he pours his heart into it. He works at it. It's not, listen, to him, mowing the grass is a ministry. Okay? Now, we could use a lot of examples around here. If you're right now upset that I'm not using you, then I don't know how to help you. I really don't. Heaven forbid. But, you know, the guy goes out and orders custom-made T-shirts for the guys that are mowing. Did you notice your T-shirt has the year that you got saved on it? What? I'm thinking 1966. Why does he have 1966? And then I read, I'm like, oh, because I got saved in 1966. This is cool. I almost wore it preaching here tonight. I almost did. And but I thought I really ought to give God my best. But that is cool. That is sharp. That is good. That is awesome. All right? I love it when somebody takes a minute and ministry. Listen, you know, don't have to do something for the Lord. Whatever you're doing right now for the Lord, could you just, listen, I'm not grading anybody. I'm asking you to grade yourself. Come on. We all know in our hearts. I've walked away from a job sometimes knowing that I didn't give 100% or that I could have done it better. Come on. You have to. And so let's just take a look at whatever the Lord's given you, whatever area that you're plugging into. Come on, young ladies, when you go back to that nursery, has it just kind of turned into let me sit around and let me just let the other people or do you come in with, come on, these seventh graders drive me crazy, seventh grade girls. I've got fourth and fifth grade girls begging to be in the nursery. And remember how excited you were the first time and how you listened to everything that they told you and how you jumped in. And you know, why does that go away? Honestly, I know it's human nature. I know you could say, someone said, well, it's just natural. Well, let's live a supernatural life. And you know, one of the things that the Bible does for us from time to time is it kind of brings us up short, holds us to account, say, wait a minute. Come on, I'll apply to Pastor Jerry Ross. This Sunday morning, you know what the people that walk through that back door and sit in this church deserve? They deserve a message that I have put my whole heart into, both preparation and prayer and delivery. That's what you deserve. And it's good every once in a while to just come on, Sunday school teachers. This whole idea of waking up on Sunday morning an hour earlier and it's the first time you've cracked your Bible, look at your Sunday school lesson. I mean, come on, you're not, one of these days, that's going to be tested by fire of not just the materials used, but of what sort it is. And man alive, come on, let's have a revival of let's do the job right. You know, I said something to our bus drivers the other day, but folks, come on, guys, we cannot get slipshod in the driving of these vehicles. First of all, the name of Blessed Hope Baptist Church is plastered on every one of them, and you hold the reputation of our church in your hand. You know, you're rolling through stop light signs and you're doing this and you don't think nobody pays attention. Are you kidding me? How long have you lived in small town America? Everybody pays attention. People know more about me than I know about myself. And they do. And they're watching. They are. And they're talking. And you know, we might not think, well, that's just who I am. That's just how I drive. Well, you can get right with God. You're not giving God your best. I mean, you know what? Checklist that thing. Make sure you're doing it right. Make sure you're obeying the laws. Make sure that you're counting those kids when they get off the bus. Don't move that bus an inch till you see every one of those kids in the yard or going through the door. You know, sometimes I got distracted, looked. I've only seen a few kids, couldn't find one of them. And it's easy for me to say, well, they ran ahead and went inside. I put the bus in park, turned it off, put the emergency brake out, got out and walked around the bus and looked under. You know why? Because I don't want to spend the rest of my life waking up in the middle of the night screaming over the memory of running over some kid. And what I'm saying is, you know what? We can't cut corners. We can't. Nursery workers already mentioned this, but every baby that's put into that nursery ought to get absolute first-class premium care. The same way you'd want your grandchildren cared for. The same way you want your children. You know, we can't afford to slack off, okay? And so in everything that we do, I'm so impressed when I went back there, and ladies, thank you for doing this, but I saw the desserts that y'all are bringing, and, you know, I want to thank you. Our ladies were a great example of that on Father's Day. You know, they didn't just throw some little slipshod and easy whatever. There was, I mean, work went into those things. You know why? Because it was for the Lord. Yes, it was to honor our fathers, but it was for the Lord. It represented our church. And so remember this idea of what sort it is. So we have to have a proper foundation, a wise master builder, a willing and wise workforce that shows up to do the work, that's willing to put their labor into it, that's careful what materials they use, and then also puts quality work. They're careful of what sort the work is. You say, why does it matter? And let me just remind you of this, verse 13 through 15. Every member's work will be manifest, will be tested one day by fire. And every man's work shall be made manifest, verse 13, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of what sort it is, so the quality of the work. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So we see two things. The quality of the work, and then the materials that it's used is going to be tested, which is our fourth ingredient for tonight. Proper foundation, wise master builder, willing and wise workforce of builders. Number four, proper building materials. I wanted to get to this. Well, he gives a list of the possibilities here. Gold, silver, precious stones. Those are the things that represent eternity or eternal things. They are, by the way, very expensive. They cost more. By the way, they do not change, they do not rust, they do not rot, they do not disintegrate, and are immune to insects, time, or climate changes. Most important thing about these things, these materials, is this. They will not burn. They will not burn. So you have gold, silver, precious stones on this side. You got hay, wood, and stubble over here. These are not eternal things. These are temporal things. They are relatively inexpensive. It really doesn't cost you very much. And they will burn, rot. They can be destroyed by insects, time, climate changes. The worst thing about these materials is they will burn. They will burn. And so as we show up to do a work for the Lord, we want to bring a quality of work as far as our best effort, but we also want to use quality materials. And when we're talking about using proper materials, folks, these proper and precious materials, these are things that will
lasts throughout eternity. Use eternal building materials to build the church of God, not temporal or earthly materials that will not stand the test of time. Now, I got to thinking about this gold, silver, and precious stone, and I kind of did a quick Bible study. It's an interesting study to see where God uses gold and silver throughout the scriptures. But one of the first things that I found was this. If you're going to use the proper building materials, you need to build a church using the precepts and principles of the Bible. One of the things that is equated to gold and silver throughout the scriptures consistently is the Word of God. Psalms 119:72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Psalms 119:127, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now this is good. If we're going to use quality materials, expensive materials, materials worthy to be used, then we should make sure that everything we do in building the church is solidly based on biblical precepts and principles. What are we doing with the progressive church movement? What are we doing when we decide that we're going to use earthly, temporal, carnal, and honestly, folks, sometimes sinful means to try to build the church of Jesus Christ? I mean, folks, we talk about them opening up a Starbucks, and that's light nowadays. Some of them have a cocktail lounge in the church. A cocktail lounge. They have Bible studies where they call beer in the Bible. You say, well, yeah, but preacher, those churches are running 10,000. They're also using hay, wood, and stubble. I mean, the preacher said, listen, I want you to listen to the morning service wherever you're comfortable. We have the auditorium if you'd like to be in here. We have the coffee shop out here, and you can just open your laptop and we can live stream it there. We have the little bar down there, and you can a fellowship and open your laptop and listen in. Well, just whatever. We just want you to come. You say, that's crazy. That's not happening. It's happening everywhere. I just described to you the largest, fastest growing churches in America. Now, here's what's so sad. There's a lot of independent fundamental Baptist people that are struggling. Their churches maybe aren't growing like they'd like to see. And so the next thing you know, they think, well, maybe we just need fresh ideas. So they go to Idea Day. Or they go to one of these other little gatherings of these contemporary progressive people, and they go to these conferences, and they come up with all these real neat new ideas, and they come back with a whole semi-load of wood, hay, and stubble and say, folks, we're going to build this church. You better make sure that what you're doing does not go against the principles and precepts of the Bible. Now, we've done a lot of things around here, and we'll continue to do a lot of things around here to try to get people in the door. But one of the things I'm very careful of is that we are not doing anything that violates the scriptures. Because if we violate the scripture to get somebody in the door, we put ourselves in a precarious situation. I'll give you, for instance, me and Brother Gordon's talked about this, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Even in the bus ministry, things that used to fill up a bus and get kids to come 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, we use the same thing now, and I think we've got such a spoiled generation, you can't offer them anything to come. And I was talking to some youth pastors, and Brother Gordon has called and talked to some youth pastors, and you know what a lot of the guys are saying? Man, if you want to have a crowd for your youth conference or your youth rally or something, you know, all the kids are into these Xbox and PlayStations, and man, if you'll give away one of them. And you know what? I know, you know too. Come on. Independent Fundamental Baptist churches are doing it. And do they get a crowd? Yeah, they get a crowd. But you know, I'm handing them the very thing that is keeping most of our young people out of church. And it's like, yeah, I could give that out and get a crowd for one service maybe because I'm giving it out. But what have I done long term to that young person? Have I hurt them spiritually by giving them? Of course I have. Yeah, right. Come on, you can live in la-la land, but those games, 99% of those games, not only have no positive value, but negative things that it's putting into those young people's lives. And we've got to be careful. I mean, I'll just tell you, I don't always know where the line is, but I'm thankful that we try to stay spirit sensitive, because sometimes an idea will come up, and you know what? It's kind of like, yeah, I think that would work, but then there's that still small voice that just
I'm like, yeah, but yeah, it'd work, but I don't think it ought to work here. And I'm not even saying I'm going to throw rocks at what everybody else is doing, whatever. That's between that pastor and. But folks, listen, there's just not some things I'm willing to do. And I think we got to be careful just saying, well, whatever it takes to get a crowd, make sure everything that we do, we're not violating biblical principles in doing those things. So build using the precepts and principles of the Bible. Number two, build carefully, always protecting the good name of your church. Some things we got to watch for testimony's sake. You know why? Listen to this verse. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. I'm talking about precious things here. Things the Bible says are even more precious than silver and gold. One of them is the word of God. One of them is a good name. Now, everyone look up here, folks. We're going to get out of here right on time, I promise you. But look right up here. Listen to me. Every member here carries the responsibility of the testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Every single one of you have some bearing on the testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay? I want that to sink in. A good name's rather to be chosen than great riches. Okay? Whatever's on your Facebook page ought to be reflective of what a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to stand for and ought to have. And that's if you have a Facebook page. I'm not encouraging you to go get one. But whatever you're doing out there, wherever you're at out there, you carry the testimony of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And that ought to weigh heavy on us. Now, number one, we carry the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ought to be enough. But it's not just that we're affecting. And again, some things we don't do because they violate principles of the Bible. Some things we cannot do and we will not do at this property because of the testimony. It would damage the testimony of our church. And that should be, of course, in the building of our church, but also in our own personal lives in the building of our testimony. Then I thought about this, where Peter said in Acts 3, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he said, "I don't have silver and gold, but I'm going to give you something better." And it's Jesus Christ. And I mentioned that. Here we have the precepts of the Bible that help us to make sure that what we're doing is of a proper sort and quality. We make sure that what we do does not harm the reputation, either our own personal reputation or the reputation of our church, especially the name of the Lord. And then the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ought to be something we carry as a burden that, you know what, everything that we do, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I don't want to ever do anything that would cause the name of Christ to be put in a bad light, bad testimony, in anything like that. So here's what we need. This is it. This is the message tonight. If we're going to continue this never-ending building project, it started back at this local assembly in 1973. It will go on, hopefully, till Jesus comes again. You know what? There were folks that served their generation by the will of God that's gone up to heaven. We want to remember them and what they sacrificed. We need to understand that we're now in the process of adding to that. But whatever we do is going to be handed to the next generation. So let's make sure that we do not harm the foundation that's been laid or damage the foundation that's been laid or try to change the foundation that's been laid. Be glad that God's given you a wise master builder. And then provide a willing and wise workforce of builders to come, to plug in, to do, to roll up your sleeves, to go at it. And then as we work in whatever God's given us, make sure that we're using the proper building materials. Make sure that we're not violating Scripture, that we're protecting the testimony of our church's name, and that we're especially protecting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. Good, good, good Bible precepts for us. Thank you, Lord, that this has been going on all the ways since the book of Acts, when the church of Corinth was first founded. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue, Lord, this great work here. This has been, honestly, just a miracle ministry and a miracle church. And Lord, I pray, dear God, I'm going to stand. Every member here is going to stand before you one day. And what we did, what we contributed, it's going to be tested by fire. Lord, I pray that we would keep our building materials of high supernatural quality. And Lord, also that we would put our very best into everything that we do for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.